Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome everybody. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio Live. All things trucking and then some. Check us out. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody listening along, following along. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. Go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. That's our website. You can find links to all of our social media accounts on there, where you got Facebook, you got Instagram and Twitter, but also we got YouTube. And YouTube has been great. We really are proud of YouTube channel. That YouTube channel has got all kind of videos talking about life on the road, dealing with lease purchase and just, you know, driver shortage, that kind of thing. But also, we got videos directed to the four-wheelers on how to drive around big trucks. So if you got family full of people that, you know, maybe you're just getting into truck driving and the family is not really a truck driving family, so this is good conversation pieces. And it comes from experience of mine where we're a great family that talked a lot, but none of us were truck drivers. And when I became a truck driver, I really did tell everybody about, you know, how it works and how driving around big trucks is totally different than what you think it might be. And that's what these videos are directed to. So check us out. Redneck and Eyes is the name of the YouTube channel. So go check them out. We're here on Blog Talk Radio here live. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio Live. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And you can call in right here and talk to us at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody doing that. So let's go check it out. A couple of things going on in the trucking industry. Not much, really. I mean, you know, we could talk about some accidents or some bad things happening, like Pete Buttigieg showing up, Donald Trump showing up to East Palestine, Ohio, and all that. But, you know, we were talking yesterday about the age restrictions of big trucks and how they're doing a pilot program. We're talking about driver shortage. We're talking about taxes, driver pay, owner-operator pay, all kind of different things. So anything you got, what you got going on, it's Friday, so it's a Friday free-for-all kind of thing. And what do you got going on? Let me know. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. Let's do it.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Leave.
No stop sign, speed limit. Nobody's gonna slow me down. Let the wheel go spinning. Nobody's gonna mess me around. Hey, Satan, pay my dues. Playing in a rocking band. Hey, mama, look at me.
Thank you.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, welcome back. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. Appreciate everybody joining along. So we're just getting it on here Friday, ready for the weekend. The weather's kind of getting nice down here in the south. I saw where, I mean, it's like up in Pennsylvania and parts of like Philadelphia, it got up to 75 degrees. It got up to 85, almost 90 in parts of Tennessee and Alabama. And then, of course, the big bad snow hit California. That's where we're looking at it. It's hope everybody's staying safe out there. I remember I'd done that before. I was traveling through, coming down from Sacramento. Actually, it was a big storm like this hit late in the year like it did. And I was actually in Nebraska. And we had dropped off a load. We're waiting on another load. And I get a phone call. And usually that didn't happen. You know, when you work for these big companies, everything's done through the Qualcomm. Well, you get a phone call, and it's actually the customer service rep for the account. And it's Generac or somebody that makes generators up there in Lincoln, Nebraska, or Omaha. Somewhere up there, there was a place that made generators. And they needed to ship a bunch of generators over to Sacramento, Northern California, because they got hit pretty hard by the snow and blizzard and all that. So they ordered a bunch of Home Depot. Actually said, send them here. And they were getting like, you know, 20 generators for each store. And there was like five or six stores. And, you know, they needed them pretty, they needed them ASAP. And of course, 80 is pretty much closed all across Nevada and parts of Utah. So she gives me a call and she says, you know, you're a team, but also they need this and they're paying. So you need to route it around the storm. So think about this. If you're out there right now planning a route, you need to get to Sacramento, California, and you're in Omaha, Nebraska, and they tell you, go around the storm, go around the snow. What do you? And I said, the only way to do that is to go all the way down into Mexico and take 40 across and then take Interstate 5 straight up. And they're like, yep, done deal. Do it. Run like a team. And we were a trainer team. Which technically, but he, you know, what she did is she asked me, she said, can you do that? Can you run like a team and run around the storm and get it done? And I was like, yeah, my student can. We can do it. So we did. And so we went down the back roads through like, you know, Kansas and Nebraska and Kansas all the way down into Oklahoma Panhandle, across Texas into New Mexico, those little back roads like that, right? Go through Albuquerque, go through Flagstaff, get on into California, go straight up, make the delivery. Well, it was first stop in Sacramento, then we went up Interstate 5, and then we had to go across into like Crescent City. All right. Now, technically, the only way the truck can get over to Crescent City is if they go up into Oregon and then come back down. Well, I didn't do that. I went the other way, and I shouldn't have gone that way, but I did. And when I did, I got into Crescent City, no big deal. Nobody said anything. But when I was trying to leave Crescent City, DOT, California DOT said, no, you can't go that way. You got to go up into Oregon and go that way. So I said, okay. So I told the, you know, the dispatcher and all that. And they said, no problem. So I had a load to pick up. And see, I'm trying to remember if that was different from the other, because we crossed back into California. But I don't remember where we ended up going. See, and that was different. So we did that. So the other thing that was funny is I'm up in Oregon, and I think it's the Walmart warehouse over there, but it's over there by Hermiston, over there in Central Oregon, Central Washington, and I pick up a load of potato chips. Now, anybody ever haul potato chips? You can't take it into high altitude. So it has to go around all of the high altitudes. So you can't take it into Colorado. And it's going to Las Cruces, New Mexico. And it's like, I think it said, don't take over 8,000 feet or don't take over 6,000 feet. I'm not real sure. I can't remember. But I said, you know, this has got to go around. I said, you can't go across I-40. You can't go across I-70 for sure. I said, it's got to go around. So they said, yeah, you got to go around. You got to go all the way down to Interstate 10. You got to go into El Paso and then come up to Las Cruces. Or not Las Cruces. What is it? What's the city that's just an hour south of Albuquerque that has the Walmart warehouse? That's where we're going. That's where we were going. Las Lunas, I think it is. Anyway, so the only way to go, and it's kind of like the back roads to get to Interstate 5, and then Interstate 5 or 99, whatever you want to call it, all the way down to, you know, basically L.A. and get to Interstate 10 and take 10 all the way. So I'm trying to remember that to Mojave, and I can go like across Mojave Desert on Highway 58. I think I went to Bakersfield, and I knew the traffic was backed up, roads were closed, the weather was getting bad, the passes were getting snow, that kind of thing. So I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to go across 58 and to Barstow. And then I can cut down, like, and I looked at it, and I think what I ended up doing was going through Lake Havasu to get to 10. And so I took 40 all the way to Needles and then went south to get to 10. Because you can't go into Flagstaff, that's too high. So the weather was getting bad there in the Mojave Desert and all that, and we shut down for the night. So woke up, snow all over the ground. I'm in the high desert out there near Mojave. Boron, California, out there in the middle of the desert, snow everywhere, roads are packed, iced over, and the traffic was crazy. And roads were closed to get to Barstow. So I ended up we had to go back into town. We had to go down into San Bernardino and catch 10 that way. And it was bad. It was, you know, snow and all that, but it was that night. It didn't, like, now it's coming down during the daytime. So it's even worse, but yeah, I've been there, done that. And it wasn't fun. You know, the fun, everybody gets worried about the weather. It's not the weather, because you can stop for the weather, or you can reroute around the weather, or even when it's, you know, when it's not that bad, you can truck on through the weather. It's the traffic. When it's bad weather and traffic, oh, man, it's crazy. It's horrible. I mean, that's the worst thing, you know. I mean, like, I travel every night. I go up to San Antonio from Corpus Christi. Then I go San Antonio up to Toledo, which is north of Austin, every night. Okay? It could be raining cats and dogs, storming, wind blowing, lightning striking, everything. And I'll run it all the way to San Antonio. But then I don't want to go any further, because it's not the road, it's not the weather, it's the traffic. When there's too many trucks out there trying to move down the highway and the rain is just coming down, you can't see. And people doing crazy, you know, people doing crazy crap they shouldn't be doing. And it's like, you know, calm down. They either go too slow or they're going too fast. You know, and nobody can pay attention and keep up with everything. So traffic. It's bad weather is fine. We can deal with it. We can stop, or we can get it done. But other than that, it's the traffic. Traffic and bad weather just don't mix. And that's what happens. That's why Atlanta shut down when they got snow. You know, that's why L.A. shut down when they get snow. Denver shuts down when they get snow even. You know, the only places that keep moving in Colorado is outside the city. Inside the city, everything's bad. So, yeah. I think we got Jeff calling in. How you doing, sir? What's going on?
Well, yeah, I hear you talking about the weather and all that. And Denver, you're a little mistaken about Denver. Denver very seldom ever shuts down, because they just know how to deal with it there better than anything else. And what's crazy about Denver, it can get 5 inches or 10 inches of snow one day and be golfing the next.
Well, that and what I say about Denver is they don't really get that much bad weather as far as like heavy bad blizzard weather.
Very seldom. Very seldom.
Yeah. Just because of where they're at. They're right there at the foot of the mountains.
Yep.
They get a slush, and like you're saying, by the afternoon it's gone, you know, and all that.
It's crazy.
I've seen them shut it down. Just not necessarily everything, but I'm just saying the people there are from the city, just like any other city, and they drive crazy too.
They just know a little bit more about it there. But I tell you what, have you looked at Wyoming this week? What's going on up there?
Oh yeah. So I don't know if you're familiar with Daisy Delaney. Daisy was she's been trucking a long time, and she was actually one of the ones that was on TV on like A&E and everything. And I met her a few times, and she used to run flatbed. She was one of those. She quit driving when they put the computers in her trucks. You know, when they forced them to go e-log, she quit.
Okay.
She's a farmer, so she lives out there in Wyoming, and she'll put videos about like milking the cows and, you know, feeding the pigs and all that. And it's so funny. She took a picture of all the snow on the ground and how bad it was out there. And then the funny thing was that she says, Alexa, go feed the cows. It's like,
yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
Well, I got a buddy of mine. He snowed in at Evanston.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
He picked up in Boise, and he looked at the weather map, and he was going to drop down to 70. Well, same storm was hitting that area, so he says, "Shit, I'll just go ahead and get as far as I can." He got as far as the scale house the first night, and they wouldn't let him go any further. Told him to park it right there. And she goes, a little scale gal heated up a hot pocket and gave it to him. Yeah, that's the only thing he had to eat that night. He says, man, I was thankful for that, you know. And he says, next morning got up and made it as far as Evanston. And he says, Flying J, I found one spot. I got backed in because I've been there ever since. And that's been like 3 days ago.
Yeah.
So I keep talking to him, and I said, you know, I keep looking at the road cams. I says, hell, it's like the roads are clear. Well, he says it's all blocked up. Well, then I get on YouTube, and I look at YouTube for the area, and oh, my God. There's this one YouTube video on there. I bet that truck that's going through there, he's looking up at it, and the top of that drift is about 20 foot above him.
Yeah.
This thing is a monster of a drift. And this is like on a ramp, you know, where the ramp goes down low and you got the hill over the top. But shit, you got snow piling up over the top coming, you know, it's just amazing looking. But I guess the problem, here again, you said traffic, you got it. The scale house told them that what's the problem is before we got her shut down, we had so many trucks and cars intertwangled up on like Elk and the Sisters and all that. He says, and it's just a mishmash of cars. And then the snow, you know, filled in the voids between the cars and trucks. He says, so they're basically buried in snow out there on the interstate. And he says, he says, if we wouldn't have the cars to deal with, we could run a snowplow through there. But we got to go through there now almost with excavators and slowly dig out so we get a car out and then dig out a little bit more. He goes, a slow process. And he says, and then you're fighting the snow blowing in just as soon as you take something out. He says, it's kind of like scooping water out of a pond. You know, so... They say that one YouTube video says it's the worst snowstorm blizzard in Wyoming in 129 years.
Yeah, I believe it.
And I told them today, I says, hey, man, if I was you, I would be getting on the road and going west, and I'd go back to Salt Lake City and drop 15 and go as far south as you can. As it says, if you have to, I would do like you said, go down to 10 and come across. because I guess Flagstaff has got closures going on. 70's got closures. 80's got closures. It's like, God. And I says, otherwise, I said, here's what's going to happen. I says, just about when they get it cleared out, you got another snowstorm brewing in California that's going to come right back across and slap you again.
Yep, that's it. You know, it keeps moving east. That's what it does. Yep.
And the big wheels ain't moving, you ain't making any money. And here's the other thing. They say every truck stop, every rest area, and along the highway is jammed full of traffic, cars, trucks that can't go nowhere.
Yep. Yep.
So I told them, I said, when that does open up, just think of the traffic. You're going to have 40-mile-an-hour traffic on a one-lane or sometimes two-lane road going across Wyoming.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And you know, the worst thing, I don't know, I mean, sometimes I don't know what people are thinking sometimes, but just like the deal, okay, I knew there was bad weather when I was sitting in Nebraska, and I knew there was bad weather across 80 and across Utah and all that and Nevada, and you couldn't get to Sacramento. We knew that. So when they call me up and they say, this has got to get to Sacramento, you got to go around, you know, okay, so how many people don't have that conversation or don't have that idea and are just thinking, you know, hey, just head that way. And I'll try to do my best.
Yeah.
And it's almost like as truck drivers, we got to do better, and we got to say, you know what? No, I'm not even going to try, you know, because it's just like you're saying, you get somewhere, and it's going to get not only. I mean, let's say you're not even going to get stuck. Let's just say the roads are going to be open. It's going to be terrible as far as traffic goes. It's going to be bumper to bumper. It'll be bumper to bumper. All the way from Cheyenne, Wyoming, all the way to Sacramento, bumper to bumper.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, man.
No. Well, it won't be so bad that way because some of the westbound has been open. They've been letting that open. It's the eastbound, you know, where them winds first come across the highway. That's where all the big, heavy drifting's coming, is hitting.
Yeah.
It's the eastbound. That's the worst right now, they say.
Because it's kind of blowing north, the wind system, like the jet stream, is kind of scooping down and blowing up from the south.
Oh yeah,
so it's going in
it's
a north.
It's always that way from Wyoming.
Yeah, exactly. And
when you cross the state, it's always blowing from the south towards the north, which is weird.
He put it on Facebook today. He said, "I wish they'll cut a tunnel through Wyoming, to where you can just go down into a tunnel and just skip the whole state, because." It's either going to be shut down to the snow. Well, you know what? 2 or 3 months from now, they're going to have 80 shut down for the wind.
Yeah. Well,
this is
the funny thing. When they built 80 across Wyoming, the federal United States architects said, hey, we're going to cut it straight across most direct way. And the Indians that knew the area said, no, bad idea. That area is known forever for being. The Indians had a name for it in that area, and they told them that you're going to have wind and you're going to have high drifts of snow. Bad idea. Well, the government said, "What do you Indians know?" And they built it anyway. That's why when you get up there, Highway 30 a lot of times is a better route going across around Elk Mountain than going interstate, because Elk Mountain should not have had interstate on it to start with.
Gotcha. Well, there you go. That right there probably is the first sign of how stupid engineers have become. Because, you know, we make fun of them down here. Texas A&M is an engineer school. When you're from Texas and you want to be an engineer, you go to A&M, and we make fun of them because, you know, they're silly. And engineers are always like that. Every engineer I've ever met, they're like, you know, well, what do you know? I'm an engineer. They're like, you know, I mean, it's common sense, man. Come on, you know, just like the Indians in that area. They're like, hey, you know, we've only been living here about 500 to 1,000 years, you know, before you got here. So
yeah.
So yeah, yep. I mean,
you know, they They were telling them which way, where to build, and the engineer says, no. Oh, no.
Yeah,
too many curves, too many of this, too many of that. We're building it our way. Well,
have you ever watched a TV show?
You fight it every year.
Yep. There was a TV show that came on like AMC. I think it's on Netflix now, and it's called Hell on Wheels, and it's about the building.
Road.
That was a good show, and the guy was sitting there talking about the surveyor was like, you know, he rolled out the plans. He had the map of the train track, and it just kind of went straight across the plains. And the owner says, you crazy? They're paying me by the mile, so you need to put some curves in there.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of being paid by the mile, I put something on Facebook. I don't know if you caught it, but this pickup truck for this energy company, you know, their name on the side of the door was Clear Reliable Energy, right? So their whole idea is to save, you know, the energy, their conservation group. He must have got paid by the mile because I saw him make about 30 circles around interior of Love's parking lot.
That's one of those guys where it's like, yeah, we'll pay you by the mile. Just send us the odometer reading.
Yeah. And he was, yeah. He was 30. I couldn't believe it. I thought, wow. And he was making them square corners as far as he could get in a circle where he could just go round and round and round.
Yeah.
I videotaped
right
it. I thought, wow. Here's an energy company looking out for energy, and here he is burning fossil fuel.
Yep, that used to be the case back in the day when Walmart was only hiring owner-operators. When Sam Walton was alive, he only hired owner-operators to haul his freight to the stores and everything. And he said, I'll pay you whatever you just write down the miles. Just tell me how many miles you drove. And they were goosing it. You know, they were always trying to get more miles than they actually ran and all that. And, I mean, you know, that's basically why we've gone to a system where they only pay what the computer says. You know, they're not going to pay more. You know, so owner-operators, it's all your fault. I mean, you know, you kept goosing it, and the company's like, hey, you know what? This is too many miles. And that's what the system has come to right there is that, you know. So when the guy gets paid by the mile, they said, just send me your odometer reading.
Wow.
Oh, man. That's when you're having to like if you're in the military, the military will pay you when you got to move, you know, they'll pay for your moving expenses. So what you do is they pay like per pound. So when you rent a U-Haul, you fill it up, you weigh it empty, and then you fill it up with furniture, and then you weigh it, and that's how much they pay you is by that. And that's when you fill up the cargo with all the stuff, and then you fill up the tanks, and then when you weigh it, and then when you weigh it empty, you make sure that all the fuel tanks are empty too. that way it's way lighter.
Oh, okay.
That way it's low. Yeah. That way you're getting credit for the fuel too. Yep. So try to make it as light as possible, they always say. Yep.
That's what they ought to do now for fuel surcharge is weigh it for that.
That's true because, that's a good idea because, I mean, a lot of times you'll see that, I mean, to me, when I was looking at freight, a lot of times the better fuel surcharge was actually on the lighter freight. I don't know. I mean, sometimes you see a little bit more extra 2 or 3 cents on the lighter freight. The heavier freight fuel surcharge wasn't nothing. You know, I don't know if they were just kind of like trying to pay more base pay, but, you know, it's like the fuel surcharge is based on how much fuel you use on the cost of fuel.
Yeah.
Heavier load.
That's what it ought to be.
It ought to be based on heavy loads. Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Heavy loads are going to take more fuel.
Exactly. Yep. Just imagine those guys now. I hope they got fuel there at those pilots and Flying J's out there on Interstate 80 because that's the biggest thing is sitting there waiting and you got to run the truck and you got to make sure you got fuel and then you got to try to unhook your trailer so you save your parking spot so you can go top off in case you're low on fuel. So,
well, that's what I told the guy. I said, you know, you're there. You've been there now, what, 3 days? I said, if you can't get out, supply trucks can't get in.
Exactly.
So they're going to start running out of fuel in the ground. They're going to running out of food in the restaurant. I said, if I'd be you, I'd go into that in that store and I'd buy whatever canned goods and tuna fish I could get my hands on right now. Because I don't think you'll be moving anytime soon. Here again, he didn't listen to me the first time. He ain't listening to me this time.
Yep, the woulda, coulda, shoulda. That's what it always is with these guys.
I'm Bob telling home because we can't find freight right now for me to head west with or east with. And he says, you're going to be home the next couple of days? I says, yeah, but I fly out next Thursday to Vegas. I says, I'm not sure you'll be back in my area by then. I says, I think you're still going to be snowed in up there. Oh, no, they'll open it up by tomorrow. I don't think so.
Man alive.
I don't think so. Man, I tell you, I've never seen drifts that big before.
Yeah, I mean, I have no reference point because I grew up in the South, so you know, when snow was on the ground, that's what did it for us. You know, it didn't even matter how much snow, it just snow on the ground.
Yeah.
Call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't even matter.
I grew up. My dad was the shop foreman, head mechanic for the local county maintenance road department. And so in the wintertime, the snows be blowing, and then of course all the operators, graders, road graders, and that they'd be out trying to clear snow so they could have school the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time this one guy, and his name, his real name, not made up name, was Bill Hickok. And
okay.
Everybody called him Wild Bill Hickok, all right?
Yeah.
And he lived in an area of the county that was real hillacious, you know, hilly. And he called Dad up. He says, Vic, I need some help. I don't know what I'm going to do. He goes, I was bucking. And these big old motor graders in front of them has got these great big Bs, look like a double plow, you know, B plows.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I was bucking this heavy snow. Well, if anybody's ever worked with blown snow is tighter compacted than non-blown snow, right? So he was trying to buck, you know, back up and ram this drift and back up and ram it again. And he rammed it so hard that the plow broke, and the grader drove up over the top of the plow.
Wow!
So Dad gets out there and he goes, how are we going to get out of this fix, Vic? And my dad, I don't know how he got so smart, but he says, well, the only way we can do it is we're going to have to take that winch on the back of that grader, and we're going to have to walk down and grab that tree over there and winch yourself off that, and then we'll have to use the cables and winch it back up and get it welded enough where you can get it back to the shop so I can rebuild it.
Hmm.
So that's what they did. But it was always fun riding with Dad when I was a young kid when he did that, because we'd go out in these drifts that these guys just opened up. And it was, you know, 10-foot drifts. I mean,
right.
Humongous drifts in the country. But yeah, I grew up around it, but it doesn't mean I like it. And it doesn't mean just from I'm the, you know, everybody thinks, well, you're in Nebraska. You know how to drive in snow. Yeah. The best way to drive in snow, park it.
Park it. Yeah.
Park it, you know. I hear these guys saying, yeah, I can't even see I don't even know for sure where the interstate's at. And you're driving in it? That's stupid, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, when the snows are so deep on the side of the road that the mile marker posts are under the snow, it's time to park it. So.
Oh, man.
Them are not snow sticks.
Yep. I don't like it. I don't like snow. That's why I live down in South Texas now. Don't want to have to mess with it.
Yeah. Well, you still got ice from time to time down there.
Oh, yeah. Well, they shut the whole thing down. They shut the damn road down. I mean, like, they won't run. Like the city. Like, I couldn't run. So I'm down here. We can run. We're doing all right. We can run to San Antonio or we can run to Austin even. The snow, the ice came down like Dallas and Austin. But the Dallas drivers, like, so what I would do was is I'd call them up, the corporate office, and I would say, hey, am I running? And they're like, well, I don't have anything for you. So if you guys are sending everything to San Antonio on one truck, I don't have any trucks coming down that way to meet you. So the freight that you have sitting in Dallas can't get to you because unless you can drive all the way to Dallas to get it. And of course I can't do that in one night. So they don't have anybody to bring it because they don't have anybody showing up to work to bring the freight down to like Waco or Austin to where I can get it. And then they were even trying to send it to Houston.
What do you mean you can't make it one? You can make it Corpus to Dallas in one night.
And back? Not in back.
Wow.
Yeah. Talking about 400 miles.
One way?
Yeah. Yeah, 400 miles one way.
75 mile an hour roads? Hell, you ought to be able to do that in a day.
Yeah. Yeah, 75. You try to do 75 on Interstate 35. especially, downtown Austin, they slow down to 50. Pisses me off all the time. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
I don't go downtown anymore.
Yeah,
I don't mind at all paying that toll around it.
Yeah, well, and a truck that can do 80, by all means, yes, that's a great idea because you can do 80. But when you only got 65, it's like it's not even worth it because it's going to take you just as long or even longer to go around. You know, but if you can go 80 and then you get on the toll road and do 80 the whole way, man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
In my personal vehicle, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing 90 in my personal vehicle, so. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. Speed limit's 80 or 90. I mean, that's what I love about Texas.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yep.
Shit. Two-lane roads in Texas are 75 mile an hour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, they got plenty of shoulder room. That's the other good thing about Texas. You know, Texas, they built their farm market roads, which are little country roads that go in between the farmland.
Yeah.
You know, they got them rated as big truck roads. So they're all open.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's very few roads that are restricted to trucks in Texas. So it's
the only thing bad about Texas now by going those speeds is that the feral hogs, I'm seeing more and more of those on those roads from time to time.
That's why they changed that law.
See more deer.
Yep.
You know,
it was
more dead deer on the alongside road. You're seeing a lot of feral pigs now.
Yep. It used to be against the law to hunt those pigs. Now they're like, it's like rodents. They're just, you know, shoot them whenever you can. And then, in fact, they had a special law that made it legal to hunt them from a helicopter. You know, you can hunt them from a helicopter now.
I've seen that. I've seen videos of them doing that.
Yeah. 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 It used to be against the law.
You
and
know,
of course, people are like, leave them alone. No, they're like rodents. They're tearing up crops.
Oh,
and tearing up foundations and stuff. Cause they're digging in the hole. They're digging in the ground. So they're basically like possums and rodents and stuff, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like like where we're from, prairie dogs are a menace, you know.
Yeah.
And
yep.
it's legal there to shoot them and never go pick them up. They die. You shoot them, they die, and they stay there. And I noticed in that video of the helicopter and the ones that go out there with night scopes and night shoot them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, they just pop them, and a lot of times they'll leave them lay.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And they tell me, a friend of mine that used to be Dallas City Police that got away and moved to Nebraska, I worked with a kid, and he would go down every year and go hunting for wild boar. He says, that's where we get our pork for our freezer. He says, we look for the young, small ones for freezer. And then we look for the big trophy ones for trophies. But, he says, if you shoot a hog, he says, they'll scatter away from that dead hog for about a half hour, 45 minutes. And then their curiosity, they'll come back. And if nobody's picked up that hog, they start eating on it.
Yep.
And he says, they'll completely clean the whole thing up to the bones. Before they stop. is eat, eat, eat. Hogs eat all the time, and they'll
yep,
eat their own.
It. Yep, they'll eat anything, absolutely anything. Yep, that's true.
Have you ever been on one of those hunts?
No, I haven't. I've seen them, though. I've seen them. They actually broke into some neighborhoods in the Houston area where they were tearing up people's yards in the Houston neighborhoods.
Oh, I bet.
Yep.
I bet. They're everywhere. They're thick down there. But this is what
yep.
I don't get about Texas. If I want to go down to Texas and hunt hogs, it costs me an arm and a leg to go hunt them, right? But
okay.
They're a menace. They're a menace. So you would think you'd want to bring anybody from out of state to come down and hunt them. That's not the case.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, I don't know anything about all that.
You know?
I don't do it that much. And there's actually there's not a lot of good places to go shooting around here. People go hunting like they got deer leases out on you know where you go inland more where there's more of a hill country and forest land. They got a lot of
right.
deer leases that. But out here where you got the grassy plains and the coastal plains here, kind of where there's not a lot of trees, you know, there's not a lot going on. We went down south of here. There's more of a tree area, like a brush, like cedar trees and oak trees closer
right.
to the water. And there was a lot of wildlife around there. It was pretty nice. It was real nice.
Were the hogs next to the ocean there?
I didn't see any hogs. Of course, they're nocturnal, so they're not out during the day that much. If you're out riding around or moving around in the daytime, you don't necessarily see them. That's why you see those night hunts because they're nocturnal. So you don't,
yeah.
you know, that's
yeah.
out and about that time. So yeah, but the deer, that's what you see a lot of is the deer and there's like the antelope, that kind of stuff. And I don't know if they're brought in,
yeah.
you know, the different types, there might be some people that bring in different exotic animals to hunt on these leases and stuff, but they're out here down here. I like that a lot. Of course, we got the King Ranches out there by Kingsville. So, you know, that's a big area where they do a lot of farming and ranching. And I think they even raise. They have some.
Right.
They try to help raise deer and stuff like that, the different exotic ones. But a lot of times, you know, they just want people to go in, just like you're talking about. It's expensive. It's always been expensive to hunt. But, again, they say if you want to hunt, you know, you pay for the buck, but then a lot of times they need you to kill all the doe that are, you know, because there's so many doe and they can't have them all around, so they need you to go in there and clean them out, you know. So
yeah,
that's the other thing too is with the deer. It's there's a lot of places around here where the hunters go in, they get the bucks, and then there's nothing left but doe, and you pretty much just got to shoot them too because they're not going to do anything because there's only so many bucks. You know, so, you know,
right.
But yep.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out. I've always wondered where Ted Nugent's big ranch down is down there.
I'm thinking that one is like, it's either about by Abilene or by like Brownwood, which is out there in like the hill country kind of north, like, you know, between Abilene, Stephenville, that kind of area. I'm thinking
okay.
that's probably where it's at. You know, he lived at one point in the Central Texas area where I grew up in Temple, Texas, and they even have a street named Nugent Avenue.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. So
see,
you know,
I
think
he was from Detroit.
Yeah, he grew up in Michigan as a boy, but I think at one point, like when he was younger, and you know, a younger adult, he was living
okay.
in Texas at one point, maybe. I don't know, but there's a lot of people talking about how they. You know, they seen him around and all that. But yeah, it's that area there. And there's a lot of land. That's where, you know, you got like Bosque County out there, Bosque, Texas. That's where, what's his name, grew up. The guy that created Yellowstone, that's where he's from. In fact, that's the name.
Okay.
The name of Taylor Sheridan, the name of his production company is Bosque Ranch Productions, which is because that's
right.
where he grew up, Bosque County area. So, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. That's those places there when you're in a big truck. I would spend a lot of time when I was hauling for Walmart. You drive those back roads going through those small towns, and that's where you pull up to a convenience store or even like a little restaurant or something for breakfast or something, and every vehicle outside that facility, no matter where it was, every vehicle was a pickup truck, and it had the brush guards, you know, brush guards and the steel bumper and, you know, everything. Because like you're saying, there's tons and tons of wildlife out there, and you know, you're going to hit something. So they
rifles hanging in the back window.
And then, and like I said, with the steel reinforced bumpers, that way if they're going down the highway and they hit something, it's not going to tear their vehicle up.
Or hogs. Now, I was watching a video the other day, and they had guys on the back and chairs and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
In the back
of
this thing, and had a big brush guard on the front of it, and they were ramming them hogs, and they couldn't get them shot, and they were using fully automatic machine guns on them, driving down this field with this four-wheel drive, big-ass truck with a big guard on the front, and one of them got too close where they couldn't get him with a rifle, and the guy just turned his steering wheel and clunk, clunk. Yep, we got that one. Oh, jeez. I was like, God, what a riot that would be to go down and do this on that.
Yeah, we were riding our bikes on the back road, and like we made this one curve, and coming out of the brush, like you can see this old dirt road in between the two trees, and coming out of that dirt road was one of those big like suburban looking SUVs, and it had like a double decker, had the big like deer stand on top of the pickup truck. Yep, and they just go out there and drive around.
I hate to hit one of them hogs. I hate to hit one of those hogs on a motorcycle.
Oh, no, yeah. Or anything, really. You know, especially sometimes we're going down there pretty good. We're moving pretty good, and it's dark. You know, you gotta watch out. So, but
I've seen a motorcycle hit a deer before. Messes up our heart pretty good.
Yep. Yeah, there's one video going out right now where these two guys are lane splitting, and they're doing like 70 miles an hour through the lane splitting. And the one motorcycle in front, you know, the car changes lanes, doesn't see him coming, and he runs right at the back of that car. And it's like, yep, that's it right there, you know, because in California, I looked it up, there's actually a law. It's like you can't go more than 25 miles an hour or 20 miles an hour when you're lane splitting. It has to be in that, like, stop traffic. You can't just lane split what you want. You know, California, we see lane splitting. It's only in heavy traffic when it's stop traffic.
There's so many times I see them coming up my rear view mirror. I just want to open my door up.
Some of the states are passing, I forgot what they called it, but it's not lane splitting, but it's lane advancing. We actually talked about it here on the show with motorcycle safety and stuff. And what it is that at a red light, the motorcycle can go up between the two lanes and go up to the front of the red light instead of sitting back with all the other, you know, in the line of traffic. So whenever whenever the truck stopped at a red light, the motorcycle can just go on up. A lot of states are passing those laws. There's not a law like that in the state of Texas. And there's still people here that do it because, you know, there's military here and there's a college here. So there's probably out of state people here and they probably think it's legal or whatever, but it's still not legal in every state, but a lot of states are passing that where, you know, they see lane splitting and heavy traffic, but what they're trying to do is they're trying to let motorcycles go on even in the red lights, you know. So, I don't know. It ain't no big deal to me. If I see a red light and I can turn, like today, I should have took a picture of it. The dude up in the front at the red light, we're in a right turn only lane. So, the lane on the far right is turning right. It's not going straight. Well, the guy in the front at the red light, he's holding everybody up. Everybody can turn right on red. He's not turning. He wants to go straight. So he's waiting on the light to turn green for him to go straight, but he's not in the straight lane. The lane is not marked to go straight. So it's like that kind of stuff, you know, that's when you're going to walk up there and just, you know, shove a knife in his tire. Just, you know, you idiot, you know. You know, that kind of thing. So, I think one big thing that they need to start doing, I see a lot of intersections around here. They don't do a lot of it, but they need to, is not only paint the arrows on the ground of each lane, but even have the signs like before you get there. So there's a sign at the red light you look up at the red light, you know, they got a sign that tells you which lanes do what. You got double turn, right turn, whatever. They need to have that sign, like, further back down the road so that when you're coming up to that red light, because that's, I think, I don't know if you've done it. I've done it all the time where I'm coming up to a red light. I need to turn left, but am I in a two-lane left or am I on a one-lane left?
Right.
And I always want to slow down and make sure I can see that because I want to make sure I'm to the right of a two-lane left. There's a lot of big trucks around here. They turn left from the far left lane, and there's another turn lane on their right. And then you can see them all the time. It takes them a really long time to make that turn because, of course, it's tight because they got to go into the other lane to make that turn. And it's like, dude, if you'd have just paid attention to the signs or the arrows on the ground, you know, and of course, stop traffic, you can't see the arrows on the ground. so they need to have more of the
signs. No, I got a ticket in Texas for I didn't know until I got there, and then I couldn't get over because I was in the wrong lane to make the turn. And where in the hell was that? Down there south or just north of Dallas? No, it was south. It was down to San Antonio somewhere. Starts with a C. Anyway, I went to court, fought it, and won. But he gave me a ticket for illegal turn, wrong lane turn.
Yeah, see, there's no law that says that you have to be in the right lane. It's just that's the smart place to be. You know,
what the judge said. I got was something for, I don't know, reckless driving or something like that. He gave it to me for.
Yeah, it's silly. Because even when you're turning right, I mean, you've heard me have this debate too. A lot of trucks try to stay as far left as they can to make the right, which is even wrong too, because you're still allowing for the traffic to come over to your blind side, and you don't want that. So, you know, we want to straddle is what we pretty much were taught to do. But even then, you know, you're risking. I don't know if that's illegal or not. So some cops will give you a ticket for straddling both lines for both lanes like that. You know, they don't like it either. So I always tell people to stay to the right. That way you can see. And if you need to block traffic, make sure you see the traffic you're blocking. If you need to cut somebody off, make sure you can look at him and say, hey, I have to do this. You know, instead of doing it, they can't see you. And next thing you know, you can't see them. And now, boom, you hit them, you know. Yep. You see it all the time.
Yep.
And of course, as we're driving, I don't know, you're doing your personal vehicles. I see it all the time, so I'm like, I hold everybody back, and I was like, all right, do what you got to do.
Right.
Like, yep. But, yeah, man.
Well, it's 7 o'clock, and there's a basketball game coming on the tube that I want to see tonight.
Cool deal.
My high school, my son's high school buddy is now in his fourth year at this high school. And they're playing for the final district tonight before state.
Awesome.
Oh, I want to catch that. So, all right. Well, we'll talk to you later.
All right.
Have
now.
A good weekend.
You too, bud. You too.
You bet.
Bye-bye. Right now. Bye-bye. Good deal. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. Great conversations. Life on the road, trucking industry, talking about what's going on and how do you get through stuff and, you know, experiences, that kind of thing. That's how you learn. That's how you you know, answer questions and get through it. Just talk out your experiences and let them know. So we do this every week, every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. That's your line to call. We're also on blogtalkradio.com where you can stream all of the audio versions of the show in all the past episodes and everything. So appreciate doing that. Go check us out at redneckandeyes.com. You can get all our links to our social media accounts, including our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody subscribing to that. And you can also find links to all of our great sponsors. We got Trucker Tools at truckertools.com. We got DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com. And we got Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. And go check those guys out. We appreciate all their support of Redneck and Eyes. So everybody have a good weekend. Stay safe out there and stay warm. And get out and have some fun if you can. All right, now, you guys stay safe, stay successful, and keep between the ditches. and we'll see you out there on the road.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandi's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and I's.